Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a roll on a honey.
Runner is a fellow by the name of Donald J. Trump. By golly, that guy is crisscrossing this continent
like nothing we have seen for quite some time. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. I'm sorry, Rick. I'm sorry, Rick.
I thought they were actually in studio there for a minute.
You'll have to excuse us, ladies and gentlemen. We switched around the headphone jacks a little bit tonight, and I thought I was adjusting the volume on my headphones, and I wasn't doing it to Rick.
And boy, I'd blow your ear out, I know.
I was turning Tyler, it up. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, so we're off to a rocking start here tonight on the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, the Rays are off tonight. We are on, and you're on the right track if you're listening to us. Right frequency, as it were. I am Christopher Hart. That other voice you just heard, of course, is Rick Brown.
What?
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, it's great to be here, as always. Happy Thursday.
Good thing we have a doctor in the studio tonight.
Yes.
And we also have, of course, the chairman of the board, the man of the hour, the tower of power, the guy that comes up with the contest ideas. No mind more demented than his, Mike McBath.
Thanks for the compliment, Chris. Another sicko, you know?
One to another, right?
Right, right.
All right, and then we do have a doctor in the studio tonight, and it is Dr. Ted Noel. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Noel.
Good to be here.
All right, we have Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. When you call with your contest ideas, please do most of the talking because Nick talked his voice out on his radio show last night.
Really? Well, he gives away so many prizes. He's just getting the addresses.
Well,
took a lot
they
of
were,
time,
yeah, you know? There you go. They were playing the match game on WDW show last night, news last night.
I had to yell at a lot of contestants, Chris. They were out of line.
Is that what it was?
A little bit.
Okay. All right. So
this is what you get. But I just got some Roxy Pacifics.
There you sound go. Bad.
We'll see how I sound at the end of the show.
Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
And by tomorrow.
Yeah, now, and we're wondering if that racetrack cup was really filled at racetrack.
Yeah. No, yeah, so yeah, so Nick, by the way, do you guys archive that show so people can check it out?
We do. It's over at WDWNT.com.
Okay.
What was he doing, like yelling at people, Nick? Or how did you get your voice that way just talking for a few hours?
People were getting out of line with their answers.
Oh, so you had to straighten them out.
Too funny.
All right. Well, maybe you don't want to check it out at WDWNT.com.
Get off the phone.
All right. So anyway, it's contest Thursday, 407-774-8255 is the number. The Rays are off tonight, so we got the full 2 hours. And by the way, there's only about 3 weeks left of the Rays interrupting our show at some point or another, and then the season will be over. Because the last week of the season, they're playing out west, and the games start late, so they're not going to affect us anyway. So anyway, we are looking for some contest entries, and tonight's contest, once again, oftentimes around here, you know, especially with these contests, we try to offer assistance to various people out there,
right.
You know, that we feel might need some assistance. I believe we've offered some assistance. Haven't we offered some assistance to Hillary Clinton?
Numerous times.
Numerous
I think
times. Again, absolutely. We're going to be offering her some free medical advice tonight, as a matter of fact.
Right. With our friend Julian Assange.
Yeah. He's the one who we're focusing on tonight.
Right. He's the guy we're focusing on. We believe that he's putting Hillary through what I call email waterboarding. And, you know, he keeps dripping these emails, and he's going to keep dripping them for the next 2 months. So I believe that Hillary's not very happy with that. Maybe that's part of her health problem. I don't know.
She's stressed.
That's right, because that's part of the theme of the night. So what we want you to do is you got to deliver a message to Hillary. I mean, Hillary has to deliver this message to Julian. And an example, she may deliver it by email. She may deliver it by truck. She may deliver it by car. But Assange is getting the message, I can assure you, in the Ecuadorian
embassy
in London, right?
Yes, guarded by Russians.
I'm going to go very simple. I'm just going to send, plain I'm Hillary, I'm going to send an email over, and it's going to say, Julian, you will learn the meaning of the Deadpool, signed Hillary. Now, I think he'll get the idea. So please help us, help Hillary deliver a message to Julian,
you know,
who is definitely affecting her health.
That's right. And evidently there's some social networking traffic going around that Julian has revealed that he is going to reveal an email that reveals that Hillary Clinton has
Parkinson's disease.
Thank you, Dr. Noel. All right, so even more impetus for her.
She may get one from us.
Well, see, this is the whole point. See, she needs to get to him first. Like you said, this Chinese water
torture.
He's
already revealed one email that says that she sent her staff to check out alternative treatments for Parkinson's.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about exactly that on tonight's show. We're also going to talk about Trump's speech last night. I think that speech last night was 3 weeks in the making. And what I mean by that is I think he and the campaign spent 3 weeks mucking up the water, making it more murky in terms of what his real policy was about immigration, that last night everybody who was interested was watching because they wanted to see what it was going to actually be, because he was all over the place. Was he going to soften? Was he not? No, he did not. Anyway, right. We'll be talking about that throughout the course of the show. And, you know, we had these primary results yesterday. We didn't get a chance to talk about all the primary results, so we're going to be talking about some of that again tonight. And in particular, we're going to be talking about our dear friend Grant Malloy. And because he won the election, but the fight's not over, evidently.
The fight is not over, and there are dire things afoot.
Yeah, so we're going to be talking about that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, in politics, that's another reason why I say it's like professional wrestling. Even when you win the bout, you're not sure it's over. Yeah, you still got the next one to worry about. And in Grant's case, it's come right around fairly quickly. All right, we do have a contest entry, and it is James, and he likes to set the pace oftentimes.
He always does. James is the first on the line all the time. What a good mind.
He calls in before he even knows what the contest is.
Hey, this guy is so quick.
I always have a correct entry.
He does. He's right on it.
I know what the question is.
Oh, yeah. You obviously put some thought into it. So,
hey, I even researched this one.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Lay it on us.
All right. So Hillary's going to call Julian on the phone. And because, you know, they'd never do a direct threat or anything like that.
Right.
But Hillary's going to call Julian and say, Julian, I just wanted to reach out to you. I heard about the attempted break-in at the embassy, and I'm just so glad that you didn't get hurt with that attempted break-in. You know, I was talking to your mom, Christine.
Here we go.
And she mentioned your son, Daniel, and all the trouble you had with that 9-year custody battle. When's the last time you've seen Daniel? Do you have his address? Do you want me to give you his address?
Oh, my
gosh. You know, Christine and I were talking. Maybe Daniel doesn't want you to release any more of these emails that you've been releasing.
Oh, now that is sinister.
You know, I
know. She really feels choked up about
Lord.
I'd hate for her to get really stressed or anything, you know, like your mother's stroke out or your son dropped dead. But nothing bad. I don't want to.
James, you have that Chicago technique.
I tell you, you know what, man.
That's a real perverted Chicago technique.
You want to talk about doing your research, though. Boy, that's
the way to deliver the message.
Indeed. Hey, I told you the other day that he had released the email about Parkinson's disease.
Yes, you did.
Believe me.
Mm-hmm. There's more coming.
That is funny.
Unless he gets the message like you just said, boy, that's just the way, too.
Very good.
All right. Yeah, I think you read her conniving mind there, James.
All right.
God bless you. All right. Thank you very much. And good luck with the contest there. That's starting it off.
Oh,
right?
Good one.
Yeah.
Very tough to be.
Yes.
You know, John
because it's so believable.
John usually tails James in there, though. I mean,
that one's very believable for sure. Anyway,
what a real good one.
John is up next. John, how you doing this evening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right, John.
All right. Hey, sure. Happy it's Thursday.
Thank you.
My takeoff on thank goodness it's Friday.
Yeah.
Hey, my suggestion is this: Hillary's going to have just a multitude of milk cartons printed with the song's face on it. And she'll just distribute them in and around his neighborhood. And then she'll follow it up. That's the teaser campaign. Then she'll follow it up and say, oops, that was a little early.
Oops, a little early with the missing persons campaign. I gotcha.
There you go. Hey, by the way, I've got a lot of relatives in California, and they have to be Mexican.
Okay.
And they love this speech. But I'll tell you what the common thread is with my relatibos. The new Mexican illegals that are coming through, and there's also this misassociation with people from Nicaragua, people from Colombia, people coming in from Guatemala, people coming from all over South America, and the people in California, the regular constituency there, they associate them as all being Mexican.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's the problem. It is just embarrassing to my second and third generation Mexican relatives that they're back to where they were in the 30s and 40s, where dirty Mexican was not an uncommon phrase to be heard in public, okay?
Yeah.
Where Mondays was Mexican pool day in Santa Ana. And guess what? The pool was closed on Mondays.
I see.
Therefore, Donald Trump, because they want the border closed, they want it to become back to where it's reasonably managed so that we don't have such an inculcation of these illegals coming into the country.
I see what you're saying now. I got it. I see what you're saying. They came here legally, and they see that what they came here is being destroyed by people who are coming here illegally.
But you have to legitimize the Mexican immigrants in order to reestablish their cultural independence, right?
You have Mexicans in L.A. burning American flags. The school systems allow the Mexican flag to go up the flagpole.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody wants to take a stand. They don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Let me ask you a quick question before we have to take a break. Got to take a break. Do you think do they indicate that they have more, that there are more people out there like themselves who are for Trump?
The older generations and the longer established legal naturalized Mexicans are voting for Trump.
Okay, that's
and
what I
would
wanted
say
to know.
It's 90% of my family, and I've got hundreds of cousins. You know how those lambs are.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to know, John. Thank you for the heads up. We appreciate that.
All righty.
And good luck on the contest.
Hey, Chris, you know, when you think about that, though, and all the, like he said, the legals, I would say it's 90% of all the illegals in the nation that want at least, you know, some type of
border control.
Yeah, control. Yeah, because he doesn't sound any different than the rest. Everybody I talk to that is a legal immigrant, they're like, I bet you I'm at 100%.
Yeah.
Everybody I talk to.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Trump speech when we come back. Plus, as I said, Dr. Ted Noel is here, and he's got some more information about Hillary Clinton's affliction, shall we say. Right, Doctor?
Yeah.
All right. There you go. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price, I know.
Sounds like a concert here.
Will she pay the price?
Yeah.
That's what we are going to see. You know, God has a way. He has a way of exacting, let's just say, balance in the universe. And none of us can get away from it. Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries Philosophical Hour. And we're also running our Thursday contest. How is Hillary going to get to Julian Assange? Will she use
what message will she deliver?
Would she use maybe an ice cube with a little something in it?
Oh.
Yeah.
How do you plan to deliver that to her?
Well, that's just it. You know, when you got money and you got connections, you can get just about anything you want.
With a case of Russian vodka.
But when you think about it, Julian has all his food delivered to him, right?
Yeah. Well,
Julian, try this.
Deliver some good Russian vodka with some special ice cubes.
That's right. Maybe a few Cuban cigars for the Ecuadorians.
That's right.
There you go. You got plenty of access then. All right. So how do you think Hillary will get to Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in London?
Probably when he thinks about all the ways she should get him, he's getting a little nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Could be.
Taste my food, touch my clothes, do this.
Could be. 407-774-8255 is the number. I want to take a few minutes in this segment to talk about Donald Trump's big day yesterday. And the day, of course, started out with him in Mexico City, with the President Nieto of Mexico. And that went very well. And then he gave this, let's just say, rousing speech last night in front of a very appreciative audience. And it laid out in much greater detail. A lot of people say it very much resembled Ted Cruz's plan, and if it does, and it does, then that was a pretty good plan. And Donald Trump spelled it out last night in 10 points, and he did it in a fashion that he meant it. And I think that a lot of the confusion that swirled around this issue was purposely created by Donald Trump and his campaign staff over the prior 2 or 3 weeks. You know, when he went on Hannity, for instance, last week, and they had the town hall, and he was very much there. And it was right out of the WWE, Rick, right?
Sure
he's going, okay, so what are you ladies and gentlemen like? Which is it going to be? Number one is, you know, we have some kind of system to legalize them. Number two is they got to go out.
Yep.
Okay, what's going to be? Number one, and then number two. And you had the audience almost just right out of the WWE, baby. And what they do is they do that to set up something else. Every script in the WWE is setting something else up that's coming 2 or 3 weeks or more later down the line.
Laying the foundation.
Laying the foundation. That's a good way to put it. He laid the foundation so that the interest in that speech was peaked last night. So you had it on CNN, you had it on OAN,
right.
You had it on both Fox channels, Fox News and Fox Business, and you had it on MSNBC. And, of course, they all talked about it endlessly afterwards, and they couldn't escape the fact that it was a well-delivered speech, and it was a well, let's just say, very. It was heavy on the specifics. The liberals, of course, didn't like the specifics,
right. But
they were there. And, by the way, I think the one thing that everybody is in actual agreement with, and a lot of, as we were just talking with John about, Hispanics, is the fact that he wants to seal the border off. Right?
Well, I mean, it's a very clear differential between him and Hillary on this issue.
Absolutely.
Not even debatable.
No. And as a matter of fact, and I actually was writing them down as he was delivering the speech last night. Number one in his plan, build the wall. Build the wall. Right. Without the wall, anything else you do is going to be meaningless.
And there are a bunch of ways he can make Mexico pay for it in spite of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, there was nothing, you know, we were talking about that last night. There was nothing in his comment that said it was going to be a cash payment.
Right.
He just said Mexico's going to pay for the wall, whether that's going to be in trade differentials or, you know.
And he's actually said that in some interviews when people have tried to push him on. He says, look, there's a lot of ways that they'll end up paying for the wall. Right?
Right.
And it's just the lost revenue. Okay? So it was a very powerful speech he had. And then this morning, here he was, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
What a great speech this morning, with the veterans.
The American Legion.
Yeah. Yep. No, that was and, you know, it was truly American. It was like, be true to your school type speech.
Uh-huh. Yep. I would love it if somebody on TV, Hannity or somebody like that, would do a dual screen of the two speeches, the one that she gave yesterday in wearing her house coat and looking like she had just gotten out of bed and sort of just pushed her hair back behind her ears with a comb or something, and then Trump there this morning.
She spent her whole speech denouncing him. He spent his whole speech talking about America
forward. And the greatness of the country.
And in his first speech, his most effective line was, she talks about, oh, we're separating all of those families of the illegal aliens. How about all the families that have been permanently separated by the criminal illegal aliens killing members of Americans?
I'm glad you brought that up, because the most powerful point of the speech last night was actually when he brought the angel families on, and then more or less dared the press to ask questions. And, you know, the same type of questions like, for instance, the con man and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's show a little fair and balance, right? All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're looking for more contest entries, and Dr. Ted Noel is going to give us an update on Hillary Clinton's health.
This is Sunny, the California girl, and I've been around a lot of big, hunky, sexy, tough men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy. And smart.
Hey, Chris, we got a couple of wrestlers coming to the eating contest,
right?
We
do indeed. That's right.
Female?
At least one.
One?
Wow,
that's exciting.
Wow. At least. Oh, yeah.
And she's going to enter the eating the spaghetti part?
The way she told it to me the other night, she's going to win.
Whoa. Wow. Boy, that's a strong woman, you know?
Well, being that she was a professional wrestler, I wasn't about to argue with her.
Now, it's next Wednesday, right, at Positano?
September the 7th, 1 week from yesterday.
Anniversary?
MBM, six-year anniversary?
Six years old, this show is, that's right.
And we're there from 5 to 7, and the contest starts around 6.
6:35.
Yeah, my son's going to enter. He's coming in at 6-7. Yeah. He's looking for those wrestlers, you know.
He can pack away some spaghetti. All right. If you want to be in the contest, we still have enough room for one or two more contestants. Give us a call at the call-in number, 407-774-8255, which, of course, is the number if you want to get in on today's show, and in particular today's contest, which we're trying to help out Julian Assange. We're concerned about his health because, as Mike puts it, he keeps water torturing Hillary Clinton with this drip of emails and revelations that are coming out, which he promises.
We got to get a message to her. Hillary has to deliver that message, and we need your help with how she should deliver that message.
Yeah, that's right. And I got Steve on the line. Before we get to Steve, I just want to make another quick couple of comments about Trump yesterday and the speech and everything, because, as I said, I think that it was a very powerful speech, and I was listening to Michael Medved on the way in, and he was sort of ridiculing the speech.
Yeah, I
not
heard
sort
that,
of.
Too.
He was
I didn't like
speech.
His comments
That's
at all.
That's a shocker.
Surprise.
I didn't like him.
And one of the arguments he had against the speech was that it wasn't optimistic enough, and what was the emotion that Trump was trying to convey. And this is something I think that he's missed all along from the very start. Right?
He's been anti-Trump from the first day.
He doesn't understand that without even saying it, what Trump is offering people who are supporting him, especially those who are fervently supporting him, and I'm not kidding when I say this, he is offering them hope and change.
Right.
right?
Wait a second. Didn't we hear that one before?
Yeah. Why do you think Barack Obama used that phrase?
I understand, right?
Because it is ultimate, it is Americana. Mm-hmm. It is Americana. Because Americans are optimistic, and they welcome new ideas and things, you see. This is the American experience. It is encapsulated in three words. That was actually the brilliance, part of the brilliance of Obama's campaign. Don't agree with his politics,
without a doubt.
But he knew how to be a good...
Hope and change, all those bumper stickers, right. And everybody fell for it.
See, Trump doesn't say it, but that's the message that he gives, is that people say, we do have a chance to save our country, to get it back, if you will. And he's going to change things in Washington to do
it. America is sick of Washington being populated with Frank Underwoods.
Exactly. And he offers up that hope and change, and it is a very optimistic message. We've been saying from the very start, his message, make America great again. It is the ultimate optimistic message because it characterizes the American experience. And we're always, you see, here's the trick to the Make America Great Again campaign is we're always doing that. See, that's what's great about America. Is we're always making it great again. That's what we do. And see, these are subtle messages, subliminal almost, but they carry the impact nonetheless. All right, let's see what Steve thinks. Steve, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
How are y'all doing today?
Excellent, sir.
Right. I'm excited. Yesterday's speech definitely lit another fire under my back end, and I love the speech. I just curious to see what you think, because I saw this morning on all the news stations and everything that basically half of his Latin American surrogates are basically dropping him and ripping him apart, saying, we're done with him, we can't trust him, don't vote for him. And I work in construction, and I was talking to a few of my coworkers today that were independents or Republicans that are Hispanic, and they basically said, yeah, last night is guarantee I'm not voting for him. I'm not voting for Hillary either. I'm just not going to vote for a president. I'll go down the ballot and vote elsewhere.
All right.
The problem that the people that he had on his side have all now turned on him, or at least half of them, because that worries me, because we know we need that vote needs to come. And now the surrogates that he employed or were working with have all now started to turn their back on him and basically shun him.
Yes.
And that worries the heck out of me.
Well, it should. This is the time of year to be worried about such things, and I'm not going to discount it or dismiss it because it could be a problem. But that's the risk that he took last night, and I think that the calculation was I've got to show strength. I think part of the calculation too was that the visit with Nieto earlier in the day might have softened it. Obviously, you know your last act is one that people remember you by, and perhaps if they just don't vote for her too, that's always,
maybe that's an accomplishment.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that to a certain extent, Trump is going after voters. I read an article about this morning. There are a number of voters out there, and these are the voters who are showing up in this LA Times poll.
Right.
All right. These are voters who have not voted recently. They gave up voting. They gave up on the process. And there are a lot of them out there. And I think he's counting on bringing them back to counter people like what you're talking about, Steve. And maybe the numbers are there. Maybe they're not there. I don't know. But I think that's the calculation that, look, I'm going to go where I think I can actually make a difference and get some votes rather than try to pander to people where I jeopardize my base. It's a calculation. And should we be worried that it's the best one? Yeah.
Chris, but,
I don't know that it's a bad one.
The other thing, look at the numbers of people that actually probably watched the speech last night. What would you say, 10 million? Well, how many people are there in the United States to vote? So the answer, what I'm getting at, is very simple. I don't care what he said in the sense that, like, this gentleman, Stephen, he might be right that those people were offended. But realistically, how many of those individuals that are Hispanic actually listened to him last night? I would bet not more than 4%. In all seriousness, think about that, because look at the relative population.
Yeah,
so, and I know that the media will now take it, stretch it, twist it, distort it, and act like everybody that's Hispanic watched it and they're so offended. Don't buy that story, sorry.
Right. And what Steve meant by surrogates is some of these groups that he's met with where he did seem to show some flexibility. I'll kind of disagree with you on this one. I think a lot more Hispanics were watching that speech last night because, as I said, his antics leading up to the speech increased the interest in the speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there are probably more out there. And, of course, you got Hispanic radio and TV, and they have been all over this. And it was definitely a calculation, but he did not back down from the plan. He presented it, and as I said, he presented it in some detail. And, by the way, this borrows very heavily from Ted Cruz's plan. So if you're out there and you think, oh, if only Ted Cruz was the nominee, they would have loved it when he gave him the plan. I got another one for you, right? No, Ted Cruz would be getting the same sort of hot coffee enema that they're giving Donald Trump.
But the other thing, right? Chris, if you think about it, if we just split the nation up and say, okay, how many people want immigration, how many people don't want immigration, and you explain the problems of immigration, I'm going to bet that most people will bet that we do not want immigration.
Right.
I would bet that.
Well, as a matter of fact,
I mean, just a majority of all the people in America.
There is a poll out there, and I can't remember if it's Gallup or Reuters, but they did a poll that said that that the mass majority of Americans would like to see a suspension in immigration into this country.
Right.
At
all levels.
Yeah, right. We're not talking about illegal.
Level.
We're talking about illegal, legal, all of it, period.
Right.
And by the way, from 1924 or 1922 to 1964, I get those dates mixed up a little bit, we had no immigration into this country other than tourists and students. That's it.
And they had
to leave when they got done.
And what I like is Trump always now throwing in the idea immigration means more than just the word. It means massive debt, means Social Security, it means all these things that we have to provide. You know, this is a devastating pill to this country before, you know, 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah.
So,
hey, thanks.
Thank God he's making it clear.
Thanks, Steve, for the call. By the way, is Steve still on the line? Did he have a contest entry? Oh, he did not. Okay. All right. I mentioned earlier that Donald Trump, as I said last night, he had the big day. And then this morning, very first thing, he was in, was it Cincinnati or Kansas City? I thought it was Kansas City, but I heard somebody say Cincinnati.
He was in Ohio this morning.
Okay, so that was Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was Ohio, yeah.
All right, Cincinnati for the Foreign Legion thing. So
American Legion.
That's where Hillary was.
Yeah, Hillary's in the Foreign
Legion.
That's where
she needs to go. That's a good place for
her. Which are in the French Foreign Legion.
They'll take anybody.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
right.
Sign it to her, too.
They'll give her a new identity, the whole nine yards. I think they still do that. Anyway, in front of the American Legion in Cincinnati this morning, and we commented, I wish Hannity or somebody like that on her TV show would do a split screen showing Hillary yesterday and Trump today.
I think that would be very good. I'd love to see that.
And, yeah, I think it'd be very effective.
Yeah, not just so much for the speech, but what they looked like.
Yeah.
You commented, Rick.
She did. She looked extremely ill yesterday. She had dark eyes. She looked haggard. She looked like she had just rolled out of bed and somebody stood her up to give a speech.
Sounds like you're almost ready for the field guide.
She was disjointed.
I think we are. I want to get one more contest entry. Then we're going to go to the field guide. And what he means by that is Dr. Noel has put together a list of things. And we're going to put this on our website and Facebook page. And, of course, you can get it from his website, too. We'll tell you all about that. To things that, as you're watching her on TV, things that you can see and recognize that will help you in determining her health, or I should say ill health. All right. So, but let's get George's contest entry first. George, thank you for calling tonight. How you doing?
Hi, guys. I have an entry, but Chris, have you ever had a celebrity roast in your name?
No, I have not.
You have not? Well, I've called a lot of big movers and groovers in Orlando, but nobody wanted to help me, so I had to do it myself.
Oh,
okay,
you did.
Here we go. There will be giveaways. Anytime Chris is giving something away, it's the rarest of occasion. It probably won't happen again until the 7th anniversary if he still has a show. Make sure you're there.
I love your confidence. Go ahead.
Number four, there will be contests. So Chris went to the dollar store to get some of the prizes.
Oh, hey, wait a second. These are sponsored, Brian.
Hey, at least I can't quit getting them out of the Cracker Jacks bag.
Yeah.
Right?
I like my tattoo.
Number three, you can watch Chris perform, but it could be scary for some people. So there'll be a sign at the door, attending this event could be hazardous to your health.
That's a fact.
Especially if it's spaghetti eating.
Indeed.
Number two.
Yes.
Chris had to have some free eating contests just to make sure that somebody shows up.
He's brutal, Chris. You know?
He's tearing me up.
I know, this guy is brutal, boy.
All right, what's number one?
Number one. It's hard to believe that someone with so little talent lasted for 5 or 6 years.
Now that, you got me on that one.
Okay, guys. All kidding aside, the past 6 years, many talk shows have come and gone, but there's only one Chris. Congratulations.
Thank you very much, George. I really do appreciate it, and you've brought a lot of smiles to my face, and I really do appreciate that. And I appreciate your support being in the American Adversaries Army too. You and Bandit.
Very good. Quickly, Hillary was going to call this guy up and say, "You dirty mother effer! We know that you have a sex problem. We're going to have your kahunas cut off, mounted, and we will all spit on him. Hey, you big jerk." And that's it.
Well, that was pretty direct, George. He sounds like he's part of
I guess I have to put in my entry.
Part of the Niagara Falls gang, you know what I mean? Here's how the deal
it's
works.
It's kind of anticlimactic to end with "you big jerk."
Yeah. That was nothing compared
easy
to words.
Does it there.
That's bad.
No pun intended. Okay, George, you're in the contest. And you got to admit, that gets somebody's
you
attention.
You might be in jail too, George.
If there's a knock on your door.
All right, thanks. And thanks for the roast. I love it.
Mm.
All right, Carl is up next. Let's take Carl's phone call and we'll take a break. Carl, thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm a Vietnam veteran twice over, and
God bless
that's
you.
Not the point, but it's a little bit about my background. Also, Big Mike, I played at Tennessee when you were playing at Penn State, so I go back a long way.
Oh, is that right? You do go back a long way.
Yeah, but the point is that when I hear these negative callers, I don't call talk shows, but I get a little aggravated. Americans are so quick to whine. We have been so balkanized. All it is about minorities, Latinos, every different group. There's nothing about Americans anymore. Trump is the only one that has brought this up. It's the first time in so many years. And
yep.
that is the point of our weakness. We are in such dire straits as far as that goes. People are so quick to drop the ball. Americans don't have any staying power, and so few Americans have done anything to even earn their freaking freedom. And I don't mean just being in the military. I mean being a good citizen, doing the right thing, and stepping
voting.
Up to the plate and
voting.
Standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance and when the flag is flown at football games.
Yeah. Carl, you must be a big fan of Kaepernick, right?
Oh, yeah, big fan. I mean, to me, you know, there was a picture I saw. It was sent to me of a Marine that was superimposed. It was a Marine at the game, and he had no legs. He lost him in the Mideast.
Yeah.
So that guy's sitting on his little ass. He's a child. You know, but what hasn't been brought up is, you know, he converted to Islam 3 months ago.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah,
his girlfriend's a Muslim.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show earlier in the week, Carl. But you're right. Yeah,
I think one thing that will put you at rest, Carl, tonight, he's playing in San Diego. Actually, I hope it's on tonight so I can watch it.
He's supposed to start.
And I know, because he's starting because the good quarterbacks aren't going to play the last exhibition game. That's usually how it works.
Say.
But what's happened, it's salute to military night in San Diego tonight. You know, I would like to see the Navy SEALs take care of them.
You might hear them from here.
I was out there in Pendleton, and that'll be a great place to show his ass.
Oh, I know.
I hear you, George. Well, God bless you. Thank you for defending our freedoms and our Constitution and putting your life on the line for us. And we really appreciate that. And I appreciate that what you're saying about Trump, too, because he makes a point of saying it's time to put America first. It really is.
It is.
Exactly. Carl, have you called the show before?
I called several months ago when the Colonel was in. I like to listen to the Colonel. I read his books and other material.
Okay. Well, I just thought you might want to leave us your phone number, and Mike might give you a call after the show, and you guys can talk old football stories.
Go Vols. They're on tonight, you know, Carl.
Yeah.
They're on at 7:30 tonight. Tennessee plays Appalachian State. I think you'll get by that one.
And by the way,
I think so, too.
in a week or two, they're going to play in Bristol the racing track.
Right.
Going to be the largest.
I think it'll be the largest crowd in the history of college football.
It's already
football.
Sold out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's already sold out. It will be. Yeah, well over 100,000.
They're supposed to be tough this year. Tennessee should be tough this year.
You know, they get the early test, as always, the Gators. If they can get by the Gators, they'll have a real good year. And if they don't,
That's a killer for those guys.
I know.
All right.
It's always been.
So, yeah, if you will, stay on the line and give Nick your information. All right?
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Thank you for calling. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Dr. Ted Noel is going to give us the field guide, if you will, on Hillary Clinton. All right? We'll be right back.
Guide.
Leader Olsen.
That's Mexican music.
We're at the Oktoberfest or something, you know?
Yeah.
No, you know, we were just talking college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, UCF is fielding a team with a new coach and everything this year,
They play tomorrow night, I think it is. Tomorrow night they play South Carolina State. And, boy, I think this guy can win 5 or 6 games, which would be terrific coming from 0 games.
Now, so tomorrow is game day, right?
Tomorrow, game day.
All right.
Fighting Knights.
All right.
I'm predicting great things for them this year. Great things should be 5 to 7 wins.
If you folks like Mexican food, if you like Tijuana Flats, guess what? Game day tomorrow. Yeah, let that play a second there, Nick.
Yeah, we thought it was Oktoberfest.
If you wear UCF gear on game day, you'll get 10% off. Cinco de Flats, a Cinco de Mayo party every month at all 4 of Rick's locations.
Yeah, the 2 in Oviedo, the 1 in Winter Springs, and the 1 in Avalon Park.
All right, so please check
out
those places
out.
Pretty
good incentive for college kids, you know.
Absolutely.
And plus the one in Winter Springs where we did the remote, where you got that big, great, big patio out there and everything. You're gonna have a special celebration on October the 5th.
October the 5th is our Cinco de Flat celebration, and we are going to have, once again, by popular demand, the incomparable Mr. Richard for the kids to do storytelling and sing-alongs.
Mike, they just can't get enough of you.
I know. Whenever I tell them I hear the name Mr. Richard, I go,
you know, I'll tell you what, though. We had people walking in. The only reason they were there was to see Mr. Richard. It was really
great.
He did a great job. And then we're going to have Ennis Pruitt for the adults from 7 to 10. Ennis is just one of the best musicians in Central Florida, and you'll love him.
If the thing has strings, it looks like he can play it.
Rick, it's also a great place for a pregame party. You know, like at the game tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, come over there, have a few pops of beer, and then move on down the road.
And
by the way, the UCF discount, that's all season long.
Every game day.
And it doesn't matter.
Wear those hats, whether they win or lose
if the week before. All right?
Yeah, if it mattered if they won, then there might not be too big a crowd.
Appreciate that. All right. Okay. All right. We got a contest we're doing tonight, and Dr. Ted Noel is in the studio, and you have a contest entry, I understand.
Oh, yes.
And what might that be?
Julian, do you know who this is? Click.
That would be scary enough. You're right. No more emails.
It would be. That's right.
Let's see if Tim's more scary.
Tim is up next. Tim, thanks for calling tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hey, howdy.
So I got this figured out. Hillary has a meeting with Anthony Weiner.
Oh, God. We forgot
Anthony
him.
Anthony Weiner goes over, gets himself with Assad, and begs to be hidden away with him because he thinks that Hillary's out to get him.
Okay.
Uma calls Anthony and says, Carlos, danger. At that point, he goes absolutely nuts, takes care of Assad and himself. And Hillary and Uma live happily ever after.
I don't know if that's a fairy tale or not. That might be realistic.
That something like the Manchurian Candidate?
Yeah,
one,
that was
like
a nice little theme to it, you know? Very good.
She gives him the code words that sets him in motion.
Yeah, I know. He goes bonkers over it and pops him.
You know, that's funny, Chris. Brenda texted me a little while ago and said that Assange cannot go until Weiner does because he's next on the list.
Well, you think Weiner's going down first?
He knows way too much.
Yeah. All right.
Well, we'll see.
All right. Well, okay. Thanks for the entry there, Tim.
That was cute.
Appreciate
that was good.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely,
good.
Absolutely. We only have a couple minutes left in this segment of the show, but Ted, Dr. Noel, I want just kind of give us a little tease to go into the next hour of the show where we're going to focus on Hillary Clinton. We're also going to talk about Grant Malloy, by the way. But since you were on the show last, have you seen any more signs in her behavior that confirms in your mind she's suffering from Parkinson's disease?
It's not that I've seen any more signs in her behavior. There have been some things that have popped up. One of the WikiLeaks email leaks showed that she, as Secretary of State, asked her staff to research alternative drug treatments for Parkinson's disease.
And one of those in particular was a drug called Provigil.
Provigil. Provigil was the drug that they were looking at, and that was for a problem called decision fatigue. And Hillary's email that came back was, that's spooky descriptive.
In other words, quite accurate.
Very accurate.
What did you call it? Decision what?
Decision fatigue. Now, the usual decision fatigue is when somebody's been making decisions all day and then you get toward 5 o'clock and you go, just do what you want.
Okay.
And in Parkinson's, it's a problem because you're so fatigued to start with.
So we're going to have an election where she is running for president of the United States, and she's suffering from decision disease.
Decision fatigue. That's just one part of it. A couple other things. I hadn't researched the entire internet.
Who can?
Yeah. But there's another thing that's popped up since then. There's a thing called a head nodding tremor where you just sit and your head just kind of nods. To give you one example, when Bernie endorsed her, she nodded through the entire endorsement.
Yes.
One website counted over 430 nods.
Yes. Yeah, matter of fact, we commented on that. Yeah.
We also have video of her now riding in a GMC Savannah. It's one of the most popular vans that's used for conversion for handicapped people. Unfortunately, the video only shows the driver's side, and all the handicapped stuff would be on the other.
Stick around for more. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road on a honey. I'm on the road on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
That's right. We're going to see by the end of the show who's going to be tonight's winner of our Thursday night contest. Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show if you're just able to tune us in. Thank you in any case for listening to the American Adversaries Army. Maybe I should say thank you in every case for listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And I just misspoke and mentioned the American Adversaries Army, but if you'd like to be a member of the American Adversaries Army, please go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com. Help us make sure that we do make that seventh year.
I agree. Yeah, we're
joining
the
American Adversaries Army. All right, because well, this
there'll
is
many,
a,
there'll
a
be
business.
Many Army people at our eating contest too.
Yeah,
right?
I hope so.
We'll have
yeah.
some generals there.
Yeah, we're gonna have some special
some
gifts for our,
some privates,
special gifts for our members of our Army that only they will get.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, this is a business. We're not employees of the radio station, so if you can help us out, it is very much appreciated. And you can do that by going to AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay. We are running contest today. It is a contest intended to actually help Julian Assange, who is hidden away, squirreled away, if you will, in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, England, guarded by the Russians.
Do you think we could text all these things to him to give him an idea of what to look out for? He's probably planned this way in advance. You know?
If we know how to text him, then
Hillary's coming for you, buddy.
Right?
You
that's
know?
Right. That's right. So we would like to help him out and sort of warn him him by coming up with ways that Hillary might actually try
how
to get
how will she reach him?
Get
and
to
how
him.
Will the message be given to him?
Exactly. How will she get to him, so to speak? All right. That is Mike McBath. I am Christopher Hart. We also have in the studio with us today, of course, Rick Brown, and he's ponied up some of the gift cards for the prize package today. And we also have in the studio Dr. Ted Noel, who has joined us once again to give us an update and refresh us about the Hillary situation when it comes to her health. We do have a contest entry who's been holding for some time now through the break, so I want to go ahead and get John's contest entry, and then we're going to get rolling with the conversation. John, thank you for calling.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. Hey, did any of y'all ever happen to see the movie Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yes.
You did?
You know what remote viewing is, right?
Yep.
Well, Hillary Clinton's going to take a couple $100 million out of that CIA plan that they never quit working and get the best remote viewers possible.
Get the best what?
And she's going to have them remote view Julian Assange and try to blow his head up. But there's going to be so many of them that his head will probably explode in his butt, too. Consequently, the same doctor that examined Justice Scalia is going to examine him, and he's going to say he sure was of natural causes, but he can't make heads nor tails of it.
Boy, I'll tell you, we're getting to some extremes on this. You know?
Well, you got to understand that they're going to have to go to extraordinary lengths.
The
to
wind.
Get this. Yes.
The wind.
That's right. And it will not be traceable back to her. Who would believe that story?
And that is
that's right.
Right.
That's right. And I couldn't hear him, but a remote viewer, the CIA had people who were remote viewers who would concentrate on a certain problem or situation and
try to be able to see across thousands of miles.
And evidently did with some success.
Anybody, so. I have a high level of respect for anybody that can work in a Men Who Stares at Goats reference.
All right, John.
I can't believe I know that. Wow.
Excellent entry.
What I thought she might try to do. You can't never tell.
Yeah. Hey, man.
No, John's way out in front. Look at that. You know?
Can't never tell. That's right. All
hey,
right,
that's
John.
Funny.
Good for you.
All
thanks.
Right. God bless, guys.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. That's the idea. That's what we're looking for. We'll have a contest winner by the end of the show. You'll get a gift card to Tijuana Flats. And if you want, you can use that on game day, right?
Absolutely.
UCF game day.
Yeah.
And you'll also get a $20 gift certificate to Cafe Positano, compliments of Jerry and Janice Shepherd. And, of course, Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center is the best place to know if you got a Mercedes-Benz. They will take great care of you and your car.
Or BMW.
Or BMWs now, too. That's right. Thank you very much. All right. Last time you were with us, Dr. Noel, we talked, of course, about Hillary Clinton, and we evaluated her situation. Definitely appears that she has the symptoms of Parkinson's. Have you been shaken in that conclusion since?
Not the slightest. I mean, we went through all of the whys and wherefores. Since we did that, we've had a couple more things. Like I pointed out in the last hour, we've had emails surface showing that Hillary was asking her staff to find out about alternate drugs for Parkinson's disease. Problem is, she could have done about a two-minute internet search and would have discovered there's really nothing. Second,
what do you mean there's really nothing?
Well, I've got here a page that talks about all of the drugs, but for chronic therapy, there's one. It's levodopa.
Which we talked about last time.
Which we talked about last time. And the others, yeah, they can help, but there's really nothing much yet.
Okay.
The second thing is, as we look at what's happening, she's hiding. There's no question she's hiding.
Right.
Because
from the public.
If she were to try to keep up a schedule that even remotely looked like Donald Trump's, she would be falling down in public, freezing up. She'd become instantly unelectable. The third thing, and this is a soft finding, normally, she would be riding in a Chevy Suburban. That's what the Secret Service uses as normal executive transport.
Right.
And she's been doing that up until recently. And now they have a GMC Savannah, which is a large van that she's riding in. We have video of her going into her FBI briefing in one of these and coming out. The problem with the video is it only shows us the driver's side. They were very careful about it. When they park, there's a complete
partition
screen that comes down. You can't see anything.
Right.
So you can't see the passenger side. The GMC Savannah is one of the most popular vans that's used for handicap access, because the way its doors are arranged, you end up with a second door on the passenger side opens forward. There's a third door that opens back. So you have a very wide area where you can put a handicapped lift in. And if we were to see the passenger side, we might be able to see some of that hardware. Or if we were to see her getting out or into it,
right,
we could see some of the hardware. So we haven't proved that one yet. But the sources that talked to InfoWars reporter Joe Biggs said that they had spent $600,000 lowering the floors in transport vehicles to accommodate.
Right. Yeah, and that same source that you're talking about, an info source, Joe Biggs said that the Secret Service actually reached out to him.
Right. And
talked about the van, talked about the serious concerns within the campaign with her condition.
Yep.
And he goes on to say that they're going to make an announcement about it. Have you heard anything about that?
I've not heard about the announcement, but like I said, I haven't been able to scan the entire internet.
You're right. Right. He says, this is Joe Biggs from InfoSource. He says, Hillary's staff is so intent on keeping reporters away from Clinton because she is at risk of Pettit mall seizures.
Oh, Pettit mall, that's complex partial seizures. If she's having those, and I've seen no evidence of it, those could be post-concussion syndrome. I think that this would be a diversion from the real problem.
All right. They say she also has problems with balance, difficulties with walking, and keeps falling down.
That's Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's very commonly has lower extremity weakness and the freeze episodes where suddenly you stop. Last time I was here, I read the story of one guy who described how if he was walking and a freeze hit, all of a sudden the pavement's rushing up to him and he hasn't got any brain power to move his arms out in front to protect himself.
Evidently, she's oftentimes dizzy.
Dizzy, it could be something else. I mean,
well, part of the problem with Parkinson's disease, when you get a serious neurological disease like this, there can be other complications, can there not?
Oh, there's lots of complications.
And especially when you're falling down a lot.
Well, falling down, that's where we talk about where she broke her elbow. It's how she got her concussion. See, everybody's been talking about the concussion as the cause of her problems. The concussion is the result of her problems, and it has created some new problems along the way.
Right.
And so really what we need to do for everybody looking at it is to say, okay, what are the things that we want to look for, the common things that are out there? And I've prepared a field guide to Hillary's Parkinson's disease. And as you see public appearances, look for tremors. Look for that head-nodding tremor. She's going to hide the pillow-rolling tremor with her hand pretty well, but the head-nodding tremor, if somebody else is talking, just watch her head start nodding. That's pretty common. The freezes, like the time when she had a disturbance and just suddenly everything quit and had to kind of be jolted out of it. That's common. Slow movement, it's called bradykinesia, and basically watch how she walks. Is she walking a little slower? Are her steps shorter? Do they tend to shuffle a little bit? And with the balance and weakness, is she grasping the rail up to the stage on the rare occasions that they let her walk up steps?
All right, usually she's being assisted.
Yeah, or she comes out on a level, like at the convention, she comes out on a level. She has no steps to deal with.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, but you look for those. Look for dragging feet. Look for difficulty getting up out of chairs or climbing steps. You know,
And by the way, you have on here number four, Parkinson's disease, the levodopa induced, what did you call that? How do you pronounce that?
Dyskinesia.
Dyskinesia.
Dyskinesia means bad movement.
Okay, and that's part of the report, what they said when they said that she had, what was that other thing? It was
petit mal seizures.
All right, and what they say they're concerned about the flashes from photographers.
Okay, one of the things that's done to diagnose seizures is to use what's called photostimulation while you're doing an EEG. So if she's having seizures, that's a legitimate concern. The problem is that flashes can also trigger freezes,
which is what you talk about here.
Right.
The dyskinesia.
Dyskinesia. Well, the things that can trigger this are sudden visual changes, of which flashes are one, stress, multiple people talking at once, that's why no news conferences, and then random. It can happen.
Just out of the blue.
And so in her case, you know, at the convention, all of a sudden that thing where her head jerks up, that's a dyskinesia. Look for those weird movements.
Okay. And you talk about the bug eyes.
Oh. If you look at pictures of Michael J. Fox, you see this very clearly in some of his stuff where he's off of his meds compared to when he was younger. It's just a bug-eyed look. It is so common in Parkinson's. And my friends who have been involved in Parkinson's disease, including my friend who has it, when I was showing them a video, her eyes were so obvious, they couldn't even look at what I was trying to show them. And you see this again and again, the bug eyes, sometimes it'll be fine. And remember that her medicines will suppress a lot of it. But because of difficulty controlling the medicines for a whole bunch of reasons, this stuff is going to peek through.
And the coughing, the signs of swallowing.
Okay, yeah. Swallowing disorder is very common in Parkinson's, and so we have seen a whole raft of appearances where she sits there and cough, 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 takes a sip of water, cough, 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 sorry guys, cough, 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 cough. What's happening is that she can't swallow properly. When you swallow, the structures in your pharynx are designed to keep all the liquid going down to your stomach and the air down to your lungs. Well, when things get messed up with the controls, and that's what Parkinson's does, the coordination gets messed up. Now liquid gets down on the vocal cords, and anybody who's gotten a drop down the wrong way understands exactly what she's going through. The problem is, this will kill her.
Yeah, and she could get aspiration
pneumonia is the number one cause of death in Parkinson's. But more frightening than all of this, of course, are the off states, which we can't see in the field guide because that will shut her brain down and make the 3 a.m. phone call go to voicemail.
You know, I think more frightening in all of it is that she's elected if this is her problem. I mean,
well,
this is going to be your leader?
As we talked about last time, the sheer
decision-making
to actually say, I am fit to run.
Yeah.
Says that she has absolutely zero care for anything about America.
Well, this is
all about Hillary.
Well, this has been her lifelong goal.
I mean, do you think this is it? The Trump people would take a look at all this and during the debate?
I think they already are.
Okay. I know, making some ideas of how to spring some of this.
If we can get them this material that we prepared so that they can start looking at it and have their own experts review it, this could be powerful, because if Donald says, look, I'm fine with debates, but we're standing up, there's no chairs, no stools, it's a lectern and an empty stage.
And a lot of flashbulbs.
And a lot of flashbulbs, and guess what? If Hillary says, no, I'm not going to do that, no, I got to be able to sit down, then he can pound on her about she's too weak to be president because she's too weak to stand. And if she decides to stand up, something's going to happen during the debate. You can't control the medicines that well.
I don't know, you know, we do this show, and we don't know who all's out there listening, but I do know this. Since you were on the show last, this issue has begun to take, it's snowballing.
Mm-hmm.
The very morning after you were on our show, Mike Gallagher was responding. He made some comments about her health. Not about Parkinson's, but he got some phone calls, people talking about Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. Since then, her questions about her health have come up on all of the cable channels, pretty much all the networks, mm-hmm. maybe not ABC, CBS, and NBC because they're so lagging. But I have seen CNN, I have seen MSNBC, You know, they bring out their experts to try to tamp down the story, but the point is they're having to deal with this, and this issue is not going to go away. It's only going to get more obvious that something is wrong.
You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about what happens if she's elected but does not serve.
Yeah, yeah, it could come down to that.
Get ugly.
All right. All right, we're out of time in this segment, but when we come back, we'll continue the conversation, and we're still looking for more entries into our contest. Come on now, we need to help Julian Assange. We need to come up with whatever
method. We can't leave
him
out on a limb. We need him for the next 2 months, Chris.
That's right. That's right.
So we got to get she needs to get a message to him.
She needs to get a message to him, but we need to warn him about how that message may come so that he would be ready for it. All right? That's the idea. How will Hillary get to Julian Assange?
I want to hear some women calling. They've called in the last time.
That's right.
They need to work on this.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, put yourself in Hillary's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wait a minute. Put that down. Don't go on the radio. Yeah. Wait. We'll be back.
Put yourself in her dress. I don't think so.
What dress?
Yeah.
That's her house coach.
Her moo-moo.
We'll be back. Yes, grasshopper.
First of the flame, and you look to the flame.
Can you look to the flame? All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries, where we're not afraid to get into kung fu. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. Kwai Chang Kang, he could get in Julian Assange now, right?
Yeah, he would know a way.
That's right, one of those
imagine the people that are trying monks. That Hillary must be hiring everybody. How do we get this guy, you know?
All right, once again, we have Dr. Ted Noel. Dr. Ted, you have put more videos up on your website. Tell folks where they can see them, please.
All right, go to www.vidzette.com. That's like Video Gazette.
Go ahead.
And yesterday, day before, put up a video. It's about 15 minutes long that explains why I believe that Hillary has Parkinson's disease. It walks straight through. People who've seen it have said, we like it. I think you'll like it. And then, of course, our next video that comes up in a couple of days is going to be the field guide that we talked about.
Okay, that's vidzette.com, and we're linked up to it on our website, AmericanAdversaries.com.
I like how casually the field guide.
Oh, well, geez. You know,
a guide for the married man.
Well, I tell you,
the field guide. That's great. No, I like it. I like
by,
it.
By the way, a Rasmussen poll just released last week, as a matter of fact, or recently here. 59% of Americans say they do want to see the Clinton campaign release more detailed medical records.
She hasn't released any records at all. She released a letter from last year. Remember that her problems really started to flare in the public eye about March and April of this year. So that letter, even back then, she might have gotten away with it. But that is one of those letters, and frankly, it's the kind of letter that you expect from somebody who's been told, look, don't say anything that'll be a problem. Tell everything except this big problem. We'll make it worth your while.
All right. And as you said last time, and I think we referred to it tonight as in part of your field guide, fatigue is a big part of this.
Oh, yeah. Big time. I was supposed to talk with my friend with Parkinson's yesterday. I talked to him today, and he goes, I couldn't do it.
Too tired.
It just got him. You know, he had planned to do something, and then it just grabbed him and took him into the off state. And that's what happens all the time.
And, you know, Hillary, I don't know if you saw her speech yesterday in front of the Foreign Legion, but she literally looked like she had just gotten out of bed. I mean, the clothes that she wears, they look like house coats anyway, but the one yesterday particularly looked like a house coat. It had the big buttons on it, had sort of that quiltish pleated look to it, three-quarter sleeves, and she obviously had not washed her hair. And she had very little makeup on.
That one very nice, Chris.
Well, hey, that's true.
Let's think of other
women.
But
look at her facial expressions. Yeah. does she have an animated face?
No.
When Donald's up there with an animated face, it looks natural. She gets out there and her face looks wooden. That's another one of the signs. That's in the field guide.
And she obviously, you know, looked very fatigued. She had, what did you say? She had like the black, you know.
Black circles on her eyes, yeah, sunken eyes.
Exactly. And she just looked very, very tired. And people are asking questions. This morning, Gallagher again was talking about how she looked at the speech yesterday. I made comments about it on the show last night. People are going to be, you know, very curious about this. This is not 1960 where this can be hidden and Jack Kennedy goes and gets him a suntan and everybody thinks he's the modern, you know, epitome of health. But here she is right here. There's a picture of her right there. See what I was talking about?
Yep.
She looks.
Is that out of Playboy, Chris?
Looks terrible.
I don't think so. Yeah, I know.
That's out of the field guide.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's a
that might
fish
be the
and
picture
gun
we
magazine.
Put in the field guide.
Yeah. Yeah. So once again, vidzette.com, VIDZETTE, vidzette.com. You can see a video. As a matter of fact, he's got a series of them now, and they'll be adding to this. And the next one's going to be the field guide. So please see it and tell others about it and spread it around. Let's get this thing going viral. All right? If they're not going to tell us, we'll tell them. Right? Okay. Stick around for more of the American Adversaries. And if you have a contest entry, how will Hillary get to Julian Assange? We want
to be bad. And you don't want to make it mad. Hello, this is Buck Merrill, former WCW World Television Champion. Johnny B. Bad. It's a good day to be a bad man, but it's even a better day to listen to the American Adversaries. You better listen. Don't let me come and get you, because it's going to be a blessing to teach you a lesson. Don't mess with Johnny B. Bad.
That's what we try to do around here, teach a lesson to the people out there who would lie to you and mislead you, folks. Welcome back to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. We're here till 7 o'clock, and then Larry Elder is going to take over, and he's got a great show as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got two more segments of the show to go, so if you have a suggestion on how you think Hillary will get to Julian Assange, we want to hear it before the show is over tonight. Somebody's going to win some groceries.
Nice package.
That's right.
You know, there's great opportunity
gift here. Certificate to Cafe Positano and right. Gift certificate to gift card to Tijuana Flats.
And they'll be able to use it on the 7th.
That's right.
On the 5th,
The 7th at Cafe Positano or any night. And of course, you can use these anytime you want. But also on the... actually, tomorrow is game day for UCF.
Game day number one.
Be able to use the card, but you can certainly go to Tijuana Flats, any one of Rick's four Tijuana Flats, and I'll have him tell you again where they are here in a second. And if you wear UCF gear on any game day this season, that's football game days, you will get a 10% discount. All right. So, and this is
that's a great deal for all these college kids, the fraternity kids, you know,
for
have
anybody.
A few beers.
Hey,
and
I love Tijuana Flats.
All their friends and
pre-game
and get fired
the
up for the game. And what is that? A 7 o'clock game tomorrow night? I think that might be 7 p.m. So you start out around 5.
Is that good till midnight after the game too?
Absolutely.
All right. So that's actually Tijuana Flats until 10 o'clock. Okay,
we'll be there.
All right. And where are your four locations?
In Winter Springs, we have two locations in Oviedo and one in Avalon Park.
Avalon Park. Okay, so up and down the east side of town over there, folks. Tijuana Flats. And please do take advantage of that. And then, of course, in Winter Springs, you got on the 5th of October.
5th of October is Cinco de Flats, which is a Cinco de Mayo party every month that we have. And we will have Mr. Richard there for the kids in the early evening, followed by Ennis Pruitt of the Windbreakers from 7 to 10 for the adults.
Yeah.
We'll have Kids Eat Free all night. Yeah. We'll have Happy Hour all day long. So you don't have to wait till
there
evening.
You go. Now you're talking.
We like that.
And it's amazing how well Mike gets along as Mr. Richard with the kids.
Hi, Mr. Richard. No.
All right. And by the way,
he seemed like he was a huge drawer the last time.
He was a huge drawer.
You got the right guy, that's for sure.
We love him.
The kids do, too. That's right.
Mr. Richard.
So if you've got kids, grandkids, neighbors' kids, whatever, haul them on down there. They'll love you for it the rest of your life. All right. And also, while we're talking about events, don't don't forget the Decision 2016 America in the Balance Tour. This is a very special tour that Salem Media has put together. And Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, and John Voight are going to be crisscrossing this country in the corporate jet. No, they don't care about global warming.
I know, isn't that funny? I mean, they come in a jet, then they come in a limousine, and then they talk about global warming.
Talk about the DiCaprio types. They're going to be crisscrossing the country. They're going to make a stop in Orlando. They're going to key battleground states and key battleground cities in those states.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 9-day tour, and they're going to make a stop here in Orlando on September the 12th. That's Monday. That's 1 week from this coming Monday, September the 12th, at the Lake Mary Event Center in Lake Mary, Florida. It's real easy to find, right off Country Club Boulevard up there.
Very easy.
Yep. And the doors are going to open at 11 a.m. This is being sponsored by AMAC. The doors open at 11 a.m. At 11:30, there'll be a VIP meet and greet reception. Now, for this tickets, you'll have to buy your ticket for the VIP meet and greet reception if you'd like to go. They're $35 each. And then the roundtable discussion, which begins at 12:30, is free and open to the public. So you do not have to buy a $35 ticket and go to the meet and greet reception. If you like, you can just go to the roundtable discussion.
So they won't get the hot dog and hamburgers.
No, they won't get the finger sandwiches and all that stuff. But they also won't be able to get up close and personal with Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, John Voight, me. Right?
Yeah, we'll have
some corporate execs from Salem
Media. We'll have those. That'd be great.
And by the way, if you buy a VIP ticket and you get in and you happen to meet the president of Salem Media Group,
there is a message.
The message is, we love the American adversaries. Why aren't they on all your stations? Okay? Right? There's your chance. If you really like the show, you can tell the people who make the big decisions, right? All right.
It's called lobbying, Chris.
There you go. We'll all be there for a mere $35. Mm-hmm. Mike will pay you back. September the 12th, Monday. Please be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, too. We did this 4 years ago. I was the moderator that time. And the guys are real approachable. There's a lot of wisdom that comes out of these guys, too. You'll really appreciate being there and hearing them. And if you get a chance to get up close and meet them.
And Michael Medved won't be there.
And evidently, I did such a bad job as the moderator, they've stuck me on the panel.
Well, your feet will be held to the fire, Chris. You know, this is the game.
So.
Got to defend your premises
That's
now.
That's right.
All right. Talking about defending premises, what about Grant Malloy? He just wins a huge election, wins big, and...
Well, you know, the same reasons that the establishment Republicans are worried about Donald Trump getting into office and when they're sitting in Congress with all their money to spend is the same reason the Seminole County establishment Republicans are really worried about Grant Malloy. Grant's going to bring a high level of fiscal responsibility and fiscal conservatism to the office. So just like in 2006, they've got plans to go to the ballot, and they're going to try to do this in the next couple of weeks and get on the ballot to separate the comptroller's position from the clerk's position.
So to defang the office.
To defang the office so that they can get one of their guys into the
CFO spot, into a new office that they would create.
So you've just doubled the salaries or whatever.
Well, absolutely. I mean,
that's great.
And taking a great deal of taking all of the oversight ability away from the court.
Afraid from the conservative that we just elected and put it back into their hands to control.
So they're going to try to get this on the ballot for the fall?
Yes, for November. So if you're sitting at home and you see this coming up, you have to be aware that this would take away everything that we voted for Grant for and put it back into the hands
of
the establishment politicians to continue spending our money the way they see fit. Right. Not only that, but none of these positions come with an individual. They all come with the staff. So we'll be creating jobs at taxpayer expense, offices. Yep.
Oh, that guy will finally get to buy himself some new furniture.
The expense is huge.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So be aware and just keep
walking. Let me ask you this. Do they have to sign? Do they have to get a petition, a certain number of signatures on a petition to get this on the ballot? This is pretty late in the game.
They're working on it. They should have it.
They're working on it.
They think they'll have it done in the next couple of weeks.
Did this just originate since he was elected, or were you in discussion? I mean, were they in discussion?
Yeah, not me. No,
no, not you. No, but were they in discussion before the election?
Well, everybody just knew that they were going to do this, and I think the paperwork's already filled out, and they're already rolling forward. Because, they tried this in 2006, and it failed miserably in the ballot. So...
All right. Well, we're going to keep an eye on this. And ladies and gentlemen, if somebody comes around with this petition, please do not sign it. and let us know if they come by, please. This is underhanded. This is dirty politics. You know, they tried to influence the turnout for that vote by having a write-in candidate.
Yep.
Grant is actually on the ballot again in the fall.
He has a write-in candidate that will be running against him.
And the reason they did that was to limit the voting, because they thought if they limited it to just Republicans, their choice would have a better chance of winning, the guy who put all that money in, right?
That's right. And, you know, he won almost 2-1 against the other two, right?
You're talking about Grant. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, he won by a landslide. And this is dirty politics, but what should we expect? But look, game on, fight on. We will fight on, and, okay, let's just look at this as though Grant won the primary. Now he has to win the general election, but, yeah, I'm going to have to vote twice maybe, once for Grant and once against this proposal to separate those offices.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that Grant is controlling the purse strings.
This is ridiculous. This is just absolutely absurd.
If they ever got around the write-in, could that be a problem?
No, the write-in won't be on the ballot in the fall.
Oh, it won't be on?
No, the write-in will not be on.
Okay, I was going to say, if they all organize around him, you know, to try to eliminate
the guy. It'll only be Grant on the ballot. So he's pretty much assured. It's like 99.9% assured he will win that. The problem is, if they have this on the ballot, too.
Double the staff. And he loses his power.
Well, he loses the power to be the oversight.
Right. Why we all voted
right
for
and why he well one of the reasons
one of the reasons
he'll still be a good clerk of the courts, but the point
very
is
much so.
He is very much a fiscal conservative and would be a great watchdog for Seminole County, which is of course why they don't want him.
He was a thorn in everybody's side the last time he was there, because he fought every spending measure, every
all
tax
right.
increase, and
well, if
he's vowed to do that again, and they're nervous.
All right, well, what we need to do, folks, is load up and be ready for this, and take this down if they do get it on the ballot. And please do not sign this petition if it comes around.
Wow.
Grab it from the guy, rip it up, and tear it up.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. We always knew it wasn't going to be easy, right?
No, nope, never is.
That's right. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have a contest, at least one contest entry, and some comments. 407-774-8255 is the number if you'd like to get on today's contest. Sam is up next. Sam, thank you for calling tonight.
Yes, how you doing today?
Excellent. Right, thank you, sir.
I have a theory that I wanted to share with you guys.
Okay.
We all know that vice presidential candidate Kane is incapable of winning the presidency on his own. And we all know that Hillary is incapable of running the presidency. So maybe her role is to secure the presidency, then drop out because of illness, and they've got Kane in there, their boy in there, that they can use as president. The presidency for the next 4 years.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that's a very good theory. It has crossed our mind and has done a little research on this. And if they do it in the window of what I'll call the window of opportunity, let's say she wins on November the 8th. Okay, she's not inaugurated till the 20th, but the real critical date is the date in December when the Electoral College gets together to actually elect the president,
right.
Okay? Because we don't elect the president on November 8th. We're basically choosing what our Electoral College will do.
Right.
All right? Now, let's assume in that window of opportunity between November 8th and December, when they get together to vote, she does drop out. Then it will be up to the Electoral College to choose the president. And they will have some leeway in order to do that. And if they can't choose the president, then it will be up to the House of Representatives to choose the president. So most likely the Electoral College will be presented with a choice of maybe not Tim Kaine, let's say
Biden.
Joe Biden. It will be their choice, more or less. But I think you're on to something there, Sam. I really do.
Maybe she can hide her condition till January.
Well, maybe, but it's getting harder and harder every day, and we're going to make it as hard as possible as we can around here.
The dogs are on her.
Oh, and believe me, we're putting this out into the social. Now, we're not great with Twitter, I have to admit. I'm lousy with Twitter, and I personally don't have any Twitter followers, maybe a handful. But we're doing everything that we can to get this out there so that this knowledge gets out there. So we're going to be you're talking about thorn and side. That's what we're going to try to be around here and get this brought out front, because this, and by the way, it doesn't matter which party this is. if someone has this disease, they are incapable of being president of the United
States. It's unfair to the public.
I think that's
in the world.
If anything, we can take that from what Dr. Noel was telling us.
Very clear.
You know, the things.
I know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No,
something that I do when I want to suggest something to Trump, I don't tweet to him directly because he's got massive amount of people. I tweet to one of his kids.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah, this way, if they see it's a good idea, they can take it to the father.
Ah, all right. Well, we'll take that to heart because we are trying to do more tweeting.
Yeah, and keep tweeting, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, keep pounding them home.
Yes, please do. Yes, if we're, we can't be the only ones doing this.
No, but you got to hit them from everywhere.
Exactly. All right. Hey, by the way, did you have a contest entry while we got you on the line?
No, I came on kind of late. I don't even know what the contest is.
Oh, okay. Well, we're trying to help Julian Assange out, trying to warn him how Hillary might get to him.
Watch out for those Hispanic
waiters.
Well, I forgot the word. Well, just skip it. It's okay.
Okay, Sam.
We'll catch you next week, Sam.
Excellent phone call.
I'll see you later.
All right, appreciate it. All right, when we come back, we got Paul on the line. He has a contest entry. We got JJ on the line. You can be on the line, too. You can get in this contest. 407-774-8255 is the number. And once again, this nonsense with Grant Malloy, we're just going to have to do everything we can to offset that. That's ridiculous. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show. Wait a minute. Here comes.
What?
Bro. Oh, that's Deep Space Nine, All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries. The intro to that, the way that they do the visuals with the music, it's just classic stuff. Deep Space Nine. Welcome back to the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're going to have a contest entry. This is the last segment of the show, though. So if you want to get in on the contest, let us know
There's
now.
There's some pretty good odds here, boys. Sneak in the very end.
Yeah, this was a tough one.
Yeah,
that's right.
This was a tough one.
See, it's tough for our audience to think as deviantly as either Hillary Clinton or you.
Yeah. I mean, this was more complicated. It wasn't a one-word answer.
No, indeed.
So maybe Paul has the key to this.
Well, Paul is up next. Paul, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent. Right, how about yourself, Paul?
Say, look, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about real quick. My contest entry is, when Hillary had them thick glasses on?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it just seems to me the next time that Assange orders Chinese takeout, maybe she could be the delivery woman.
Chinese takeout, she's the delivery boy. That was pretty good.
Oh, Lord, takeout, she delivers it.
And she could threaten them to face-to-face with, if you release any more emails, I'm going to bore you to death with what I plan to do in the American economy.
Now, that's what
I
you call
told you, late,
cruel
late
and
entry,
unusual,
pretty strong, yeah.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
But I enjoy his glasses. You know those bug-eye glasses she wears? Oh, boy.
Bullseye.
Yeah.
Quickly, I want to also, I know you're pressed for time.
Yeah.
Also, you guys want to be on more station. Well, as it just so happens, I am an official representative of the Clinton Foundation, and all you have to do is make a check.
Then we'll be worldwide, right?
Remember, the more money, the more station.
Yeah. Well, you got to me late. Salem Media's got it. So, all right, thank you. All right, thanks, Paul.
Wait a minute, I got one more thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Now, you sent me two tickets because I was a winner in a previous contest a long time ago to the Tijuana Flats over in Winter Springs.
Yeah.
Good.
I can't use them over in Winter Springs if we have one in College Park where I live. Is there any way I can kind of
do something with them, just present them.
Well, we could probably send you gas money, Paul, to get over to the other side.
Well, that's a different franchise owner.
Yeah, it's a different franchise.
They're not obligated to honor them.
But you could certainly use that in Avalon Park or in Oviedo.
Avalon Park or Oviedo?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Where off at Avalon Park is it?
It's on Avalon Park Boulevard at the corner of Waterford Chase.
Waterford Chase and Avalon Park Boulevard.
Right next to the Walgreens.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you so much. All right. JJ is up next. JJ, thank you for your call tonight.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I want to tag Tyke or whatever on what a couple of callers ago.
Yeah.
Said, a friend of mine said that he thought that they were going to get Hillary elected, but then she would become too sick before she got inaugurated, so Kane wouldn't take over, and there would be some way for Barack Obama to stay in office.
Oh, don't say that. Don't.
Yeah, as it turns out, the Constitution does provide for this. As I said, the Electoral College, if she were to do it before the Electoral College votes, that they could then choose someone else. If she does it after the Electoral College votes, then it would be Kane, and he would be able to pick his vice president, much like Nixon chose Gerald Ford. So the Constitution does provide for a mechanism. It does have a mechanism, if you will, for this contingency, because you know you have to consider if the president is elected on Tuesday in November, and doesn't get inaugurated until January, anything can happen, right? So the framers did think of this possibility, even though back then the inauguration day was on a different day. They did think of this possibility, and so there is a mechanism should something happen to either candidate if they're elected.
Okay.
All right.
And then, do you have time for me to say one more thing?
Yeah.
Well, did you hear Biden say Trump's irresponsible and doesn't deserve to have the nuclear code? Well, two things Trump should say to him. First of all, it's very rich coming from Biden, who tells women that concerned about break-ins to just get a double-barrel shotgun and go outside and shoot.
He's okay.
Old shotgun
and
Joe.
Two, that. That's just Joe's opinion, but Hillary's irresponsible recklessness with our national security is a proven fact.
Yeah, and then there's three, and that is Bill Clinton's irresponsible behavior with those nuclear codes, because he used to keep them in his pants pocket, and of course he was oftentimes taking those pants off, who knows where.
Oh, you animal.
I'm serious. He lost the nuclear codes.
Oh, my God.
And when the guy who carries the football, that is, you know, the briefcase, finally discovered, he asked the president how long he had lost them, and he didn't know.
Haven't we had enough of the Clintons?
Oh, I know. Isn't the world tired of these people?
But
just exhausted.
But isn't that rich? I know.
But yeah. Hillary would have memory lapses if she had Parkinson's, right? So we can't put her in there.
Well, exactly.
Yes. And if she knows this, that should be considered a crime if she knowingly is running for office with a grave disease.
Oh, I agree.
Country at risk.
It's certainly a disqualifier. You're absolutely right. All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It, JJ.
You know, most people's last wish is to go to Tahiti before they die.
Yeah.
Hers is to be elected president.
That's about the size of it.
It's our life's goal. You said it earlier.
Yeah, it is. All right, I got time for one more call, and then we got to choose a winner. But the caller, you're going to have to be brief and to the point. Thank you for calling, James.
I will do so. Thank you for having me with the wrestling the other night. I wanted to say when Hillary loses, she's got a great opportunity to open up her own email company for all the people that couldn't get the hookups on Tinder and then can radically deny it later.
There is a place for that, too,
yeah,
I guess,
that
right?
That was pretty good, yeah.
All right, James. Yeah, it was great to see you at the wrestling the other night. That's right. James won a pair of tickets and came to Wrestling 2.0. By the way, real quickly, and we'll be talking about this more, but the Clinton email scandal has gotten bigger, of course. It's going to get even bigger. It has come out that some of the emails that she was sending that concluded top secret and classified material, she was sending after she was out of the government. That's a big no-no.
You see the other one today on the foundation?
Yeah.
They requested two passports, diplomatic passports.
And got them. And also, evidently, Bill Clinton was using federal government money to pay for
the servers,
that the foundation was using and things. So it just gets.
I guess it's going to get juicier and juicier in the next few weeks.
Yeah. So. And by the way, did you hear that in August it hit 90 in Chicago?
Yeah, I did. And not temperature wise.
No.
You know,
yeah, we're talking
pretty
about
hot.
It is so. How could you ever have a gun control discussion when these cities are on fire like
90,
this?
90
you know,
people.
Clean the cities up, and then we'll talk about gun control.
90 people dead in Chicago in August.
Ugh.
All right, we got to choose.
Terrible,
we got to choose a winner tonight. Nick, can you
look at Nick? He's fired up. Look.
Yeah, you know, I wrote down John, but I don't know if I meant the first or second John.
Well, I liked the. Let me go ahead and chime in. Was it the one about the milk carton?
Yes.
Okay, that's the first John, and that's my vote too. What about you guys?
I'm going to run with Paul, the last call in.
I was going to go with Paul as well.
Is that
I'm
funny?
Sorry,
the last
boss.
Call in runs.
You're back in the time.
If you're out there calling.
I tell you, we'll do what we did last week. Both of them will
double
win.
Winners, and that's pretty nice.
That's right.
We
right.
like
nice.
Double winners.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So everybody's a winner, though. Thank you for calling the calls, and thank you for listening tonight. And once again, please spread the word. Yeah, and come to Cafe Positano
use
on
your
the 7th.
Certificates.
You can use
enjoy
them there.
The wine.
Join the army.
Yeah.
Join the army.
Go online. Join
That's
the army.
Right. Make sure that we make it to 7. All right. And don't forget also the Decision 2016, America in the Balance. We definitely want to see you there. You know, the work's just beginning, ladies and gentlemen. We found out this thing with Grant. I mean, and by the way, Grant let us know that it takes
a charter amendment and 3 commissioners to get it on the ballot.
All right. So if they even start whispering about it, we need to create as big a fuss as we can.
He said he might call in tomorrow night and talk to you about it.
Okay. All right. I'll look forward to that. And I'll look forward to you folks being with us tomorrow night. Once again, Larry Elder is coming up next. Make sure you keep the station dialed in right here. And he's going to present a great show for you as well. All right, and don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow night and next Thursday. I know McBath is already working
on it. We're
going
to keep pushing. You know what I mean? The night was a difficult one. You know, but we had some rather
we had a good
unique,
showing.
Yeah, and I like how unique the answers were. So
indeed.
Very good.
Indeed. All right, that's going to wrap it up for tonight. So, night, everybody.
Good night.
Roof Services Studio, FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.